With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, welcome to In the Pink, sponsored by Bose. Stay home, stay healthy. Stay connected.
I have to say that 2008 does seem like a watershed moment, certainly from the outside looking in terms of the revolution of cycling. To be not just a part of that, but to be leading the charge, a trailblazing to that extent, really putting cycling on the map. How exciting was that for you at the time and now to look back on?
It was an amazing time. And even, you know, normally when you're in the middle of something, you're not aware of the significance or just the relevance. And, you know, it's usually 5-10 years back, you know, you can look back with hindsight and look at it all. But even then, we realized something special was happening. There were so many athletes in all events that were coming towards the peak of their career, really special athletes. We had a team of people who, it was the only time really, and I mean, the team has been amazing in many phases, many eras. But I think the 2006 to 2008 was the peak for the whole team. The way that every single person, from the people booking the flights to the physios, the mechanics, to the riders, the coaches, the senior staff, everybody felt like you were all on the same side, all pushing the same direction. Everybody had the same mission. And you could feel the morale was just, it was like a kind of getting amplified, you know, the snowball effect, gaining momentum as we got closer to Beijing. But even with all that and all the positive feeling and all the success leading up to then, I don't think we really believed that it was going to be as successful as it was. And it was, yeah, it was almost as though the first night of competition, we were in the team sprint and the French were the favourites. It's one event that we hadn't won a gold medal for about 6 years, really, at the men's team sprint. And the French were hot favourites. They got onto the track and we posted our qualifying time right before they got on the track. And we broke the world record. And as we were sort of rolling around, I could see the French walking up onto the track to line up and get into the start gate. And I could see one of the French riders look up at the clock, at the scoreboard, which you never do. You know, when you're about to race, you're focusing on yourself. But I could see him looking up and he sort of shook his head as he looked at the time. And I could see it was like the penny was dropping. He was like, oh my God, they've just broken our world record. I don't think we can go as fast. You could see him, just the negativity soaking in. And they went slower than us in the qualifying. We won the gold medal that night. And it seemed to set the tone for the rest of the week. And it was, yeah, almost every time the Brits got on the track, you could see the posture, the shoulders are like, oh God, you know, here they come again. And it just demoralized the other nations. I think we won 8 gold medals out of 10 events. And it was, quite a remarkable few days, a really special, special time.
And I do remember watching it thinking, yeah, it's a given. We're going to take gold again. I mean, when do you ever go into a competition feeling like that? Particularly for you, making that big transition in terms of the disciplines that you were competing in. How tricky was that, both physically and mentally? I know you say you had a great support network around you, but a lot of that would have come from you.
It was hard because the kilo as an event is very controlled. There's very few variables in there. The fastest rider always wins. It's a straight shootout against the clock, whereas the sprint and the Kirin are crazy events. The Kirin originated in Japan as a gambling sport after World War II. So it's like a $10 billion a year industry now as a gambling sport. It's huge. There's one big day they have in Japan, the Grand Prix, and on that one day there's more money bet than the entire British horse racing season in one day. I mean, it's absolutely massive over there. So the reason it's successful is because the reason they use it as a gambling sport is because it's very unpredictable. So here was me going from one of the most predictable controlled event to the least controllable event. And I didn't like that feeling of lack of control. I want to know that if I got to the start line having done everything I could, then I'd have a really good chance of winning. So I had to, I guess, ride to my strengths. So one of the things that I learned in this 2 or 3 years before Beijing was to play to my strengths. So a kilo rider does a 4-lap effort, 1,000 meters. The Kieran, you've got 2.5 laps. So my struggle was the peak speed, racing against the guys that had a little bit more speed, but could go for a shorter distance. I thought, well, why don't I just take it out from the front, lead from the front, use my kilo strength, and all the chaos that's happening behind, it doesn't matter what's happening behind you. If you're in the front on the black line, taking the shortest route, then you're controlling all these variables. So I started racing from the front, and I, no one had ever done that before, because usually if you do that, they sit behind you, they get in the slipstream, and then they pop past you at the end. But I just managed to learn how to, I guess, gauge my effort. So it wasn't like I was purely sprinting from the start, but I just ratchet up about 1% every sort of 50 meters, 60 meters, until I was absolutely on it for the last lap. And by that point, they were all strung out, and it was harder for them to come past. So it was, I guess, it was finding ways to play to my own strengths, and to try and control as many variables as possible in a really unpredictable event.
God, that's fascinating to listen to, because so many people should be able to apply those principles to whatever walk of life they're in, whatever they're doing. It's about controlling the controllables, but, you know, perhaps just reassessing how you approach things. That's really interesting for business, life, sport, everything, isn't it?
I think it's understanding your own strengths and weaknesses, trying to improve your weaknesses, but also play to your strengths wherever you can. And I think being proactive, you know, in a race situation, in certainly in the sprint and the Kieran, the first person to make the move, the first person who initiates their tactic on the race has a, you know, we used to do all the analysis on it, and it was about 80% chance of winning. If you're the one that's proactive and makes the move, then everybody else is reacting to you. So immediately they're not able to impose their tactics because they're reacting to yours. It doesn't mean to say, you know, if you go flat out from the start every time, it's not going to work every time. But if you can dictate the tactics, then everybody else is on the back foot. So it certainly applies to other, you know, avenues in life, certainly. And I would say that was the biggest thing I did to try and become successful in these new events.
So interesting, because it is about unnerving the opposition as well, isn't it? You've suddenly got a psychological advantage over them.
Thanks so much for listening to In the Pink. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast you've listened to so far. Please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. Check out our Instagram page at in_the_pink. And you get all the details there about how you can win some of those Bose noise cancelling headphones. And join the community. We're all talking about the various guests that we've had on the podcast and who we'd like to see and hear in the next few weeks. So thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Stay healthy. Stay home. Stay connected with Bose.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.